Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Brooklyn. And today, I'm joined by a man of many talents, Dante Gonzalez, a chef, filmmaker, amazing artist, etc., etc., etc. You know, you've got the fantastic web show, Dante's Fried Chicken, an amazing food truck, and yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
So let's get our listeners started off right to get a better introduction about you. Tell me about how would you describe Dante's Fried Chicken and how did it begin?
Well, first of all, I am an international fried chicken practitioner. I have been practicing the art of fried chicken ever since I was probably like 10 with my grandmother. And that's how it all began. But in a loft in 2000, loft on North 3rd and Kent and Williamsburg, the big white building, if anyone knows that building, that's where I started the Dante Fried Chicken experience. It was very stripped down. I would invite artists and guests to my loft, and we'd play music, screen videos, and then I'd fry chicken in the middle of the loft, and we'd have a dance party afterwards. And that's how I sort of paid our rent, and that's it just sort of like evolved into a TV show where I cook with artists that inspire me. And then after that, the TV show, I took it to Europe and traveled there. And then I became like a band, basically. People start booking me for fried chicken at shows or, you know, whatever. It's kind of funny. It's like people are like, so what do you do for a living? I'm like, traveled around the world in fried chicken.
Sounds pretty amazing to me. I'll switch any day with you. But tell me about your influences growing up. Tell me about your grandmother. Where were you, you know, where are you from, and how has that affected the way you cook?
Okay, I was born in L.A. My mom's from New York. My grandmother's from New Orleans, and she was a big part of my life because I stayed every summer with her. And she was a private chef for, like, Charlton Heston and Joan Crawford. You know, she was also a nurse, so she took care of a lot of like old stars, and she would also cook for them. So I'd go along. I was her like little fake prep cook, and you know, I'd go along and I'd help her out, and in return I would get Transformers or G.I. Joes. She'd take me shopping. So, you know, anything I did to help her, I was always trying to, even cleaning pig intestines, which I hated doing. But hey, I got Transformers for it, so I was like, yes. So that's, in a nutshell, that's where it started. The musical and art aspect comes from my granddad, Jimmy Forrest. He wrote the standard, The Night Train. So an old jazz standard. And I, you know, right from the, when I came out of the womb, we were already practicing piano, drums, flute. I hated it, and now I wish I didn't. Like, because then I could be like playing the flute, playing the piano, and frying chicken at the same time. It'd be so amazing.
But, and terrifying, yeah, at the same time. You, yeah, would exactly, probably have many injuries, but it'd be impressive. So that makes perfect sense. And, you know, when you were doing these dinners, what kinds of videos were you showing?
I ran a homemade music video competition called View Nappy. And basically, I would put out ads in all of the film magazines, and a couple in UK, a couple in the Netherlands, and I would get these videos sent to me. And I was working at a post-production house with high-end Avids and Final Cut Pro systems. So we would have these screenings at my loft, and I would offer the winners a free edited version of a short video. So we, this is why I would fry chicken there, and then, you know, we'd have the soundboard, we'd have like a mini soundboard, and you know, whatever video made the most noise, it was a homemade music video slam. So that's the winner. And that, again, that's sort of like how Dante Fried Chicken started, you know.
So tell me about how it evolved into a food truck.
That's funny. Well, I guess it evolved into a food truck because I tried to open one here in New York, and unless you are gangster or connected to like any of the mafias, like you basically can't get a food truck unless you're willing to be extorted for thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that wasn't working, and you know, I love the mobility of my brand, and so I was just like, I can't have a restaurant right now in life. I need to be moving around. And I checked out LA, and it just seemed like all you need to do is just whisper in someone's ear and you get a food truck. Like, so I did this little conceptual project called Ride or Fry here in New York, and we basically were like acting as phone-in drug dealers, but obviously chicken. So you'd phone us up, and we, you know, it was kind of illegal. I guess I'm on record, it was illegal. Like, we would serve you, you deliver, you call us up, we check you out, screen you, see if you were real, and then once you passed, you deliver your combo meal, and we'd meet you at a corner or at the bar, you know, like, you get your fried chicken meal. And then we raised enough money to go out west and open up Ride or Fry.
So once you moved out west, you know, what is the scene out like there compared to New York? Describe, like in LA, how would you describe the food culture scene? Like, how is it different?
I went to school in the Bay Area, and I love their food culture. I mean, it is amazing. And I love the accessibility to the quality of food in California, like in LA. And I love the fact that I can eat a peach for 50 cents and the juice runs down your arm. And like, I don't remember, I haven't had that in New York in the last 15 years. I don't know. I can't find that peach. But so I love that aspect, but I feel as though it could be pushing boundaries a lot more. And it is, it's starting to. You have a lot of chefs there that are totally like flipping LA out right now with the cuisine scene. But it is a very fast food culture, and it, you know, like, and it is a street food culture that now is going through an adaptation of itself. And now you have all these other people that are injecting a new fresh idea into the whole street food culture. Like when we do our pop-up fried chicken taco stands, it's like, I love the fact that natives come to it and they're like, God, you know, I buy hot dogs wrapped out of and bacon out of a shopping cart, and I'm totally fine with that. But you're totally, this is so cool. Like, this is a new vibe. It's fresh. The food is clean. You know, it's like, there's all these art to it and people. And it's like, the responses have been really great. So I think LA is totally coming up in their food scene. And why wouldn't they? It's like the quality of food there is just blows my mind. As a chef, you freak out about it. Like,
so tell me about the taco stand. What's the concept behind it? What are you making?
Well, these came out of the concept of, okay, we're selling DFC food off of a truck and it's killing us. We're not making the money. People are like, the sides are too small. The food's too small. But then I can't, you know, I don't use, you know, industrial negative chicken. So there you go. I use expensive pasture-raised eating bugs chicken, you know. So we came up with this idea of, like, why don't we try something that's conducive to LA and what they're used to, and that is the taco. So now we do fried chicken tacos. So we created a custom-made stand that can be, you know, compartmentalized, and we can travel with it. You know, we do have a spot in East Hollywood in Silver Lake, but now we can travel anywhere to any parties. So that's our main focus right now, is like sort of getting this off the ground. And I love giving to what I say, the people, but the community, because, you know, yeah, you can order us for catering, but and that's great. And I love cooking, but it's so much more to me, a little bit more special when I get to cook for the people that just love us and support us, you know.
So tell me about, give me the rundown because I'm stuck here on the East Coast. Tell me about the food trucks that you love besides your own in LA. Like, where are you eating?
I like Koji, actually. Like, I know this is so weird. I know they're big, and I know Roy. Roy's really cool, but I would still tell the truth if I didn't like it. And I have to say, they're good tacos. I was super impressed. Like, I like the grilled cheese truck. I also found a new Peruvian spot. I'm sorry, it's escaping my mind. I will find it in a second. But LA is... Oh, Garage Pizza. I have to shout out Garage Pizza because I don't eat pizza in LA. What's the use?
It feels wrong. Like, feels a little wrong.
But Garage Pizza, it's not like New York pizza. It's a little thicker. Mm-hmm. It's like a thick New York pizza. And it's the best thing in the world. So good. So good.
So, yeah, I mean, beyond the food trucks, like what restaurants? Tell me a little bit about where you're excited about eating.
Wait, I'm sorry?
In LA, like, where are you eating? What restaurants are you excited about?
I like, there's a Thai restaurant. Okay, first of all, Thai food in LA, I don't know, it's Thai fast food. Like, I've never had Thai fast food before, but apparently it's a thing that exists. But Jit Lada is one of my favorite places, and that is located in the Thai district, I believe. And that's sort of by Silver Lake. It's in East Hollywood, but it is amazing. And it's home-style Thai food, and the woman is like, she reminds me of my grandmother, except she's, you know, Thai. Yeah. Like, but she cooks just like her, and I'm probably there like 3 times a week. And then I also go to Don Felix, which is a Peruvian spot, and that's in my neighborhood in East Hollywood. LA's tricky. You walk past a lot of places that you're like, I would never eat there because it looks like a food court. And then you find yourself like, this is the best thing ever.
Like, yeah, that's what I've heard.
It's, you know what I mean? Else. Like, it's like, I'm still figuring out, like literally I walk past Garage Pizza a bazillion times and I just start going there like a month ago. And I've lived there for like a year and a half too.
Like, it's, yeah.
So LA is such a treasure map. It's such a treasure hunt. It's like, you have to like surface, go through all, you know, cycle through all this fast food, and like, it's just so overwhelming for someone who's from New York or, you know, who's lived in the Bay Area. You're just used to like accessibility. It's right there. And it's just, again, I think it's because of the geography. It's like
spread out,
you know. Yeah. But yeah, those are definitely a few of the spots that I go to on the weekly, besides cooking for myself. I do a lot of cooking for myself because the food there is just so great and cheap. Like, the farmers markets are amazing. You can buy, like, the strawberries still have dirt on them, like, and it's like $2. Like,
amazing. You're blowing my mind right now. You're trying to make me move to LA is what you're
doing. I know. It's like, and the thing is, I hear most New Yorkers say, like, LA people ask, you know, so do you like it better? Or do you like it out there? And most New Yorkers say, I like the weather. And that's the first thing they say. And I always say, like, I like the accessibility to the quality of life. Like, yes, I miss the people. Yes, New York has an alley that has more character than copious amounts of neighborhoods put together in California. Yes, yes, all of that. But the quality of life that you can have, like, is amazing out there. So, and the food that you can enjoy and make is amazing. And again, like, I've been to a lot of, like, Chef Ludu. I've been to some of his events. And chefs like that, they're, you know, they've moved out there and they're pushing the envelope. And I think that's amazing. So
it's really, really exciting. And we're actually going to take a really quick break. But when we get back, we have more from Dante of Dante Fried Chicken. You are listening to You Look Hungry. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Knife Show on Heritage Radio Network.
To get it on.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by Dante Gonzalez, the wizard behind Dante Fried Chicken, and so many amazing concepts. I want to switch gears. I want to talk about your branding, so to speak. The art on your website, everything that you're about is so beautiful. Who is designing it? Can you tell me about that?
I'm designing it. No, I'm just kidding. The people that are in my life who basically I would look like fried grease and burnt chicken if they were around is called Hella Crisis. And they're my partners in crime. They design everything. They're sort of the brand architecture, the language, the whole nine yards. You know, I actually met them through inviting them as artists on my cooking show. And we just bonded so well that they understood my concept, and not only did they understand my concept, they did it in a visual way that I didn't even imagine that. So I'm really happy with them, and I love those guys. Shout out Hella Crisis.
It is amazing. I love it. And yeah, it's just really entertaining every time I go on your site to see. I just want it to be wallpaper on my wall at my house because awesome. It's beautiful. But, you know, that being said, you are very international. You're always traveling. And tell me about some of the events that you've been doing internationally, and where are some of your favorite places that you like to visit?
Well, oddly enough, I was based in Stockholm, Sweden for like 3 years, between there and London, but a lot in Stockholm. And I love all my homies in Stockholm. And actually, I call them the Japanese of Europe. They're very elegant. They're very clean. The chefs there are so passionate and ready to learn new cultures and things. And I really like the scene there. But I have to say one memorable place was when I cooked. We did a festival with Rai Rai, recording artist Rai Rai, and Leaf. I don't know if you know those guys. But I took them to Europe with me 1 year, and we did this whole like tour. But we ended up in a place called Gagnef, Sweden. And it was crazy. The sun never went down. I got there. I was like, is there a kitchen here? They're like, yeah. And we get there, and it's an abandoned medical center with a hot plate and some weird toaster oven from, like, the 40s.
That's insane.
And I was just like, all right. So then I had all these, like, magical Swedish people building me ovens and stoves and brick. Like, I kid you not. And we rocked it out. We, like, served 2,000 people over a four-day weekend. People built tree houses. There were all these installations everywhere. It was I think it was the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. And I've done some really cool things like Notting Hill, you know, in the UK. I love that. I love Notting Hill, you know. Mad Decent, we did a really great party there, but that was the most memorable. I remember at one point I was pretty smashed up and like I forgot because the sun doesn't go down, so I just didn't get it. But people were like, you should go to sleep. And I was like, well, why? And because it's like 5 a.m. and I thought it was like, I just lost sense of time. So it was really, I just felt like I was cooking fried chicken in some weird magical land. So that was cool. Also, Berlin was cool too. It was grimy. It was like my call time to fried chicken started at 4 a.m. Yeah,
that's insane.
I was like, really? I'm serving dinner at 4 a.m. Like, okay,
those are baker's hours. Yeah, you know, exactly. So well, music is so much a part of what you're about, and I'd love to know, who are you listening to right now?
I'm actually listening to a lot of oldies for some reason. I don't know, I'm taking it back to like all. I've been listening to a lot of I don't know if you know these compilations, East Side Story Tapes. Mm-hmm. Do you know those?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. I love East Side Story Tape. So I've been on that. But I love the whole Raider Clan movement, like Space Ghost Perp, Amber London. I love what these kids are doing. I think they're great. They're really smart and articulate. They even do like PA service announcements, you know, public service announcements. they're so awesome in their raps. Like, so I like these kids a lot. I like what they're doing.
What are tell me about, so okay, you work for, or you contribute to On Plate Still Hungry.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yes.
Talk a little bit about protein and some of the other collaborative things that you're involved in.
Well, a protein, we work with them a lot, and they are sort of like a brand, conceptual brand architectures that deal with other brands and connect the right people and cultures together. And they just do, they're almost like a marketing company with huge integrity and culture based. So it's not, it just doesn't feel cold. And I love working with them. You always do really interesting, cool projects with them. I don't know if you've done some with them before, but it's really amazing. It's like top notch, well thought out. The selection of artists that they work with are amazing. I love working with Protein. And then On Plate, you know, my friend Terrence Tay, who's also a part of my team, he's developed an online magazine called On Plate, and I contribute to that. And I really like that magazine because there's some other food magazines that are out, but this one, again, it's just as slick, it's just as cool, but there's no real pretension to it. It's like really, you know, you read it, you're not feeling like you're exclusive, but it feels great. Like, it's conceptually well put together. The writing is, of course, exquisite. Like,
how would you describe your thoughts on contemporary food culture or music culture that you're really drawn to? Like, what is an element of either of those that you feel is really unique or interesting of the moment?
Well, I love the fact that food is starting to become its own in itself. I think it's been through a beatdown of all this industrialized, you know, like mass processed, like I don't have time to eat, like food's like a third citizen in my life, like, you know, I just want the sugar, fat, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I think that food now, a lot of people are caring about their food. Like, the fact that, you know, farmers markets takes EBT is amazing. Now, at the same time, the fact that KFC takes EBT is not amazing. But I love it that I see people, you know, all these different geographies and backgrounds and coming together and sort of being what I call health conscious. You know, I do a lot of consulting for brands. They'll pick my brain, you know, Pepsi Cola or Mountain Dew will fly me and they'll pick my brain or whatever. And it's like, you guys are always trying to trick us with like light or sugar, you know, your wording. And it's just like, it's all about health consciousness. If I had it my way, if it was my world, you know, basically I would run my cell phone over whatever I'm eating and be able to track its blueprint to see how it lived. Like, and that's what I'm more about is I think we're starting to go in that direction, especially with all the GMOs and all this stuff going on, you know. And I'm really like, that concerns me a lot. Like, I guess some people don't care, but it concerns me. So
what are you cooking at home for yourself right now? Give me a recipe that listeners can make.
That's easy to make?
Well, just something you're like excited about. Can be, I don't know, PB&J or something really complex. Like, what are you making? What are you craving?
Let's pick a recipe that's coming out of my cookbook. I don't know. I like the cranberry almond slaw. That's a like really nice, refreshing, pretty quick dish. Everyone loves it. It sort of like reinvents what coleslaw is because it's usually like this industrious, mechanical, gross, blah, blah, blah. And we've sort of reinvented it with like you cook it in a leek coconut sauce. So you make a sauce first and then you chill that and you use toasted almonds and cranberries. And then you just use your cabbage, your carrots, little red onion, and you're set to go. And it's so delicious, like, but simple. And it's creamy without the mayo, like.
You're making me really hungry right now. Bad at you. Wait, so all right. So yeah, you're coming out with a cookbook, which is very exciting.
Yes.
And what other kind of projects do you have on the horizon?
Well, right now we're focusing on the taco stand in LA and getting that going. We're also going to focus on, we're working out our book tour. I can't really talk about the book heavily, but I can say, like, it's called Ride or Fry, the Dante Fried Chicken Experience. And it's going to be over 100 recipes in it. And it will be out in November. So that is going to be sort of the next evolution of our brand. And basically, you're going to start seeing a lot of weird conceptual like book tour shenanigans coming from our camp. So
hopefully some pop-up
drug deal
inspired, much like that.
Everyone's getting chicken. Everyone's getting chicken, trust me. Chicken in a book.
How many chickens do you think you fried in your lifetime?
Oh my god, I've never been asked that question.
An entire farm.
So murderous.
How many farms do you think you fried? That's what I want to know.
Wow. Woo. I mean, just from Notting Hill, this is going to sound absurd, but Notting Hill one year, the Matt Deason party, I know that we did 217 kilos of chicken, which is double that, I believe, in U.S. pounds. So just the fact that one day, I don't know, you quantify it. I'm a little scared to figure that out.
But. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and tell me, you've got two websites. You've got the Ride or Fry website and Dante.
Well, right now we've actually have Dante Fried Chicken. We're turning that into the hub.
Okay.
So that's where you go if you want to go to Facebook, Twitter, you know, Ride or Fry. We also have a fried chicken delivery service for offices called the Fried Chicken Daily Grind. And so if in LA, if you're in office, you can actually exclusively order lunch from us and we'll deliver it to you. So, and it's just another extension of Ride or Fry, you know, things like that. We're really playing with the idea of architecture and food and, you know, coming up with really cool and interesting ways to serve our food. Not only for clients, but like when we do our public events and community events, we've designed like really cool skateboards. We're going to, you know, design like that's our serving trays. We're going to design serving trays that are game boards so that you play, you know, like, but you're eating food, you know, just really cool conceptual things. That's what I got started in. You know, I love bringing food to that element because it's just not pretentious. That's the first thing I noticed when I started doing these things was like, wow, I have foodies coming, Upper East Side people coming, people from the Bronx, the hood, whatever, and they're all getting along. And this is so weird. And then it's like, oh, it's because of the food. Like, so I love the fact that the food is sort of the centerpiece of, you know, all of these things. And it's just an amalgamation of everything that I love, which is, you know, art, music, food, you know, these are the things that I'm into and inspire me, and that's how I learn about it. It makes it more interesting for me, like from a selfish perspective, you know.
Well, where can people find you on Twitter?
KFCRIP.
KFC Crip. Okay, awesome.
KFCRIP.
It's amazing. And your website?
DanteFriedChicken.com.
And yeah, we'll stay tuned for the cookbook this fall.
Yes.
I'm gonna move to LA.
If you need a place to crash, you find your space. I have an awesome bungalow. It's so Hollywood bungalow. Steez.
Done and done. Well, Dante, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for
the
having
show.
Me.
I really appreciate it. And
whole world fried chicken. See you guys later.
And thanks to Jack Inslee, Joe Galarraga, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio and Roberta's. I'll see y'all next week.
For listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our programs archived on our website or by searching iTunes for Heritage Radio Network. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website. Thanks for listening.